If you are talking about it, he's talking about it. And if he's talking about it, it's worth talking about. Richard Dixon on Birmingham's Real Talk. Talk 99.5.
It's 2 o'clock, and it's still Monday. You know, when you spend all day Saturday removing chain link fence from poles, and then you spend Sunday hacking away at trees with a chainsaw, Monday actually feels pretty good. Can I be honest? You know what else feels good? Saving money. And I'm not talking about Tinker Toys here. I'm not talking about a couple of cents here or there. I'm talking about some pretty big money. Sometimes hundreds, that's right, hundreds of dollars a month. Imagine if your mortgage payment was lowered just $200 a month. First off, what else could you do with that $200? Secondly, at the end of a year, that adds up to some serious money, $2,400 if I'm not mistaken. Now imagine if it was more. Because Weber Mortgage can make that happen for you. 270-5550, Weber Mortgage. Now, if that's what you want, now you say, well, you know, I'd kind of like to reduce the rate and see if I can't, you know, keep a little bit more of my monthly payment every month. Okay, great. Or you could say, I want to cut off a lot of payments at the end of this loan. I don't want to have to pay this much. Oh, not a problem. We can do that for you. Sometimes they can actually sever payments, that is to say, shorten up the length of the loan, and still make your payment go down. I'm not going to make any promises here. You know, a lot of it is dependent on what you want. I've got kids that are about to go to college. I need to rearrange my finances to make that possible, okay? Weber Mortgage, again, 270-5550. These are the guys and girls that are going to help make your dreams a reality. I know. I've used them twice. I love them. 219-938, their NMLS number. Weber Mortgage, W-E-B-E-R, just one B, webermortgage.com. Thanks for tuning in. Big stupid question of the day. Finish this sentence. How is it we can land on Mars, but we can't blank? I would say, how is it we can land on Mars, but we can't get rid of this ridiculous political correctness that has become so pervasive? Here's the news, kids. Are you ready for this? The Muppets contains offensive material. This, according to a disclaimer on Disney Plus. David, I don't know about you, but I have been waiting. February 19th was the day that was kind of marked on my calendar as The Muppets are coming to Disney Plus. That's the old Muppet Show. Murphy plays the end of it every day on the I loved this show growing up. I don't remember the exact years of it. I remember I was young enough to appreciate it, like I was probably in fifth or sixth grade when it first came on. But here's what I really remember about this is we had one black and white TV in the house. And I mean, literally, that was the only TV in the house. I've mentioned this before. My dad believed that color TV was a fad that was eventually going to go away. So he refused to invest in one. So it was in the basement. And in my neck of the woods, The Muppet Show, which I believe was syndicated, it came on Saturday night at 6. And so I turned it on one night and I sat and enjoyed it. I don't remember who the guest host was, but I remember it being extremely funny. And it struck me as something significantly more than Sesame Street. My dad wandered into the room while it was on. We were probably 10 minutes into the show. And he sat down in a chair and finished watching it with me. And the next week, it was coming up on 6 o'clock on Saturday, and my dad said, isn't that show you like coming on? And I was like, oh, yeah, The Muppet Show. Oh, yeah, thanks. You know, turned on The Muppet Show. We watched it together again. I don't know if it was the next week or the week after, but, you know, I was really busy. I was tied up with a lot of things when I was a kid. I was in Boy Scouts. I played in a little orchestra. I was a percussionist there. I played football. I played softball. I mean, like a lot of kids, I was busy. They wouldn't let me play baseball at that. Well, maybe not. By that time, we were probably into baseball. There was just a lot of stuff going on in my life, and I was busy pretty much every night of the week. And so for a couple of weeks, I was away. And then the next Saturday comes along, and I go downstairs. I'm missing the beginning of the show. I get down there, and my dad is sitting there watching The Muppet Show. My dad had become hooked on The Muppet Show kind of through me. And I thought, even at the time as a kid, I thought, this is a pretty cool show that I find funny and he finds funny. It was, to me, kind of the perfect programming, that it worked for everybody. And it really is. I think it holds up today because I remember seeing some episodes not too long ago. I don't know if it was on YouTube or what, but I remember watching it and going, God, that stuff was so clever. And they got some of the biggest names, you know, in the business. Sylvester Stallone, at his peak, was on The Muppet Show. I remember when Gladys Knight did it and they had the Muppips, which was hilarious to me. I mean, really a great show. Well, now that they've got the thing back on and they put it on Disney Plus, they are now putting a disclaimer in front of it. I'm going to read the disclaimer to you. Are you ready? Here it comes. This program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then, and they're wrong now. Rather than remove this content, we want to acknowledge its harmful impact, learn from it, and spark conversation to create a more inclusive future together. Disney is committed to creating stories with inspirational and aspirational themes that reflect the rich diversity of the human experience around the globe. To learn more about how stories have impacted society, visit www.disney.com/storiesmatter. There is no other reference to what may be offensive, according to, well, I guess, Johnny Cash performing in front of a Confederate flag. Is that the one you have, David?
It's that one, and apparently they have some Asian stereotypes in a skit that gets people upset. But they've had this disclaimer since the network launched because people were upset about the crows in Dumbo.
Sure.
About the Siamese cats in Lady and the Tramp, and then the cat drummer in Aristocats that plays with chopsticks. So they've had this before. The CEO at the time when it launched, Bob Iger, said they'd never put Song of the South on there. It's just they're CYA. They want to make it look like they're doing something so they can say, well, we hide behind this banner. Because if you – Warner Brothers has started doing that as well on HBO Max with Gone with the Wind. Several of the old Warner Brothers cartoons from the 1940s have that. So, and they've basically disappeared Speedy Gonzalez and Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Yeah. I remember when they did that originally, and I was like, here's the thing. If the stereotype of Mexicans is that they're lazy and slow, well, this is the exact opposite of that. I don't understand why this is wrong. You know, I never could quite get that.
Because he says, and arriba, arriba, andale, andale, so much.
Arriba. I remember the Family Guy episode where they did the American version of it. Go, 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 very fast, very fast, very fast. I think the one thing I will back up is the whole cat playing with chopsticks thing, because that would not work on a drum set. Don't be stupid. Seriously, you have to have sticks. It needs to have some weight to it. Chopsticks is for eating dim sum with. We all know that. Or sushi. Anyway, there was a time when we used to look at the Muppets and say, oh, they're very inclusive, you know? And they make up characters. I mean, you know, Grover is a blue monster, right?
Yeah.
Nobody treats him differently. They treat him by the content of his character, which is he's a loser. Let's face it.
He's Grover's not a loser. He's just a sweet boy who makes a bad decisions a lot. But
all right.
It's part of the thing is they are so inclusive. I mean, you look at everything they do with Gonzo. Look at everything they do with Skeeter, Uncle Deadly. I mean, they have so many different types, and everyone's treated equally. Now,
Sam the Eagle, yeah.
Statler and Waldorf give Fozzie so much grief for a stand-up comedy, but that's basically the only thing that people get made fun of was Statler and Waldorf. Everybody else is just like, you're doing a good job. Do the best you can.
Yeah, I think it's very encouraging. You know, Kermit's always like, you can do this. And then the two old guys, the geezers there in the opera box, which I always found entertaining. Yeah, I don't know. I will watch some of this probably this week because I'm very enamored of the Muppets, always have been.
Well, I'm just happy they released the fourth and fifth season, because that was my wife's favorite TV show growing up. So every time they'd release a season, because it took forever to get the music rights worked out,
she
has the first three on DVD, and they never release seasons four and five, because I guess Disney just got tired of releasing them or something. But
that, they might have been focused on other things. They're a big company, you know.
They could have, but I mean, come on, it's just two seasons of a show. You put out the first three, you need to put the final two out. It's one of the timeless shows, and the episodes still hold up. The Mark Hamill episode is about how he's big from Star Wars, but they really don't reference or do any real Star Wars skits other than him being in Pigs in Space. He's trying to get away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, which is funny. It's a... If you watch the early Saturday Night Live, there's a couple of things that you notice right off the bat, which is these guys ran the gamut. They had George Carlin open their very first show, and then later Broderick Crawford was one of the guest hosts. And you're like, what the hell is this all about? But the Muppets were the same way. The Muppets had Mark Hamill in one episode and Gene Kelly in another one, you know? So they really covered a little bit of everything. Louis Armstrong was a fun
episode as well.
I've yet to hear a single star who appeared on The Muppets come back and go, that was a terrible experience. That was the worst. You know, they all seemed to enjoy it. Every one of them thought it was awesome. So I don't know. I wish that we weren't just so hypersensitive about everything. Hey, guess what? David's dad, Wallace, happens to be on the line in Vestavia on the Birmingham Broker phone line. Hello, Wallace. You're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Hello, Richard. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, David Sears. I wanted to comment on this, and this comment comes to you directly, first person. This is someone who actually worked with Jim Henson for quite a while when he would do things at Disney and we were working with him and I was down there. David had met him. David and his sister both has met Jim Henson, and we've done photos, done all sorts of stuff. Jim Henson was the kindest, most caring, and most wonderful man that I think I've ever met. And he was the most unassuming, famous person I ever met. When you finish your shoot, and Jim was really good about trying to wrap the shoots up around 5 o'clock or 5:30 so people wouldn't be working all hours, he'd like to go walk around the parks. And Disney has what they call a guest relations hostess. It's like, you know, helps VIPs around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be ready to go with him, and Jim's like, no, it's okay. I'm just going to go walk. And he just wanted to walk places and see people and watch things, because that would affect his creativity.
I could see that.
The best example to show you, and remember, this is a man who was with the Children's Television Workshop at Sesame Street for decades. So when you talk about offensive, there's nothing offensive about Jim Henson or about his humor. And this is the best example of how Jim cared about the audience. And he was protective of Kermit, as Disney is of Mickey. One of the scenes when we filmed Walt Disney, the Muppets Visit Walt Disney World, was at the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. And I think everybody in your office and your audience has seen Indiana Jones by now, and the fight with the Nazis and things like that. This show down at Disney World, if you've never seen there, at the Disney MGM Studios, which is now Disney's Hollywood Studios, has Indy fighting the guys with the big airplane and that sort of stuff, that scene from the first Raiders of the Lost Ark movie. Kermit was Indy, and Miss Piggy was Marion, and he was saving her. During the scene, as in the movie and in our stunt show, Kermit would shoot a couple of guys and help Piggy, and they did cut a rope and they'd fall and things like that. When it was all over and the thing was finished and everybody's clapping and all, Kermit turns on camera to the guys and says, hey, is everybody okay? And all the stunt guys, we cut to them and they're giving the okay signal or thumbs up or, yeah, we're fine, Kermit, we're fine. And then Kermit turned to the camera and said, see, folks, it's all just make-believe. And then they went on to the other stuff. Jim was really adamant that we need to show that Kermit would never really shoot anybody with a little pistol.
Right. So
Kermit's a good guy. And he was
he broke the fourth wall, you know, just by going backstage when you watch the Muppets it's a show about putting on a show, which the Milton Berle show was for several years, you might recall. What was going on backstage was much more interesting than what was happening on the supposed stage. So that was not unusual at all. I get exactly where he was coming from. He and I shared a birthday, by the way, September 24th. He, of course, no longer has that birthday because he's no longer around.
God love him. We lost a great one then.
But yeah, again, pneumonia, too.
I could not imagine Jim Henson ever, even unintentionally, offending anybody. I mean, and again, if you can't laugh, it's like if you start off a joke, a man walks down the street. What do you mean? What about people in wheelchairs? What about people that are paraplegic? You know, how can you insult them? It's like, can you not make a joke about anything and people realize it's a joke?
Apparently not. A sad state of affairs, Wallace. Thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. We got to take a break, but we'll hurry right back. It's Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com.
Manamana. Manamana. Manamana.
Yeah, that's now stuck in Spud's head. I hope you're happy. It's now stuck with him forever.
You know what the funniest thing is, where it was used first? Do you know that bit of trivia?
I do not.
It was a Swedish porno film that used the Manamana song. And someone in the Muppets saw it and liked the song, and they pulled the song and redid it with the puppets. But originally, it's the opening credits of a Swedish porno.
Here's a question. Who was in the Muppets that was watching a Swedish porn film? I want some answers.
I'm guessing it's the dude that was Gonzo.
Fuzzy Bear.
It could be.
That was probably Sam the Eagle. He was, I don't find this funny, but I do enjoy the music. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Big stupid question of the day. We can land on Mars. Why is it we can't blank? Fill in that blank. It's the Birmingham Broker phone line. Muppets, offensive, not offensive? I mean, have we reached a point now in society where we are so damn overly sensitive about everything? And I got to tell you, I find this a little bit distressing because, you know, those of us who are in this industry saw this coming 10 years ago. I mean, when people began complaining about the tiniest things, and you might remember that there were folks then who were saying, oh, what are we going to do next? Take Washington and Lincoln's names off of schools and tear down their statues because, you know, they were slave. Well, not Lincoln, but, you know, Washington was a slave owner. Is that what we're going to do? And the other side said, oh, don't be ridiculous. Nobody's talking about that. Well, guess what? It's 2021. We're not only talking about that. It's being done in places. There was actually a school that said, well, you know, Abraham Lincoln didn't do anything constructive for black people. We need to take his statue down. He didn't do anything constructive for black people. The man who made slavery illegal in the United States of America, when the vast majority of slaves in the country were black, didn't do anything for black people. Really? That's your take on the subject. I don't even know. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling.
Well, he only freed the slaves in the South. He didn't free the slaves in the North. The 13th Amendment didn't really come in until after he was dead, so he did nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure there is an argument to be made of that nature, which is very sad. And by the way, I'm not a huge Lincoln fan. You know, I thought that the guy abused the law in a number of ways. But, you know, every president, if you hold every single president up to that kind of scrutiny, you're going to find an awful lot that fall very, very short of where you feel they should be.
Barack Obama was perfect. What are you talking about?
Perfect in every way. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He didn't put any children in cages. Those were illegal immigrants in temporary holding facilities. And that's what they are again, now that one of the guys who helped build the cages is back in the presidency. So, come on. Thing is, ridiculous. I don't know how we got to this point, but I would say it's largely the same where this is concerned as it was in my opening rant about the pandemic. At some point, you just have to say, I refuse to participate in this. I'm not going to play a part in this. I am not going to join the cabal. I am not going to join the crowd. Now, that can be difficult, because it means when some really unpleasant woman at UAB, yeah, no, I wanted to use a different word, but I went with really unpleasant woman because this is radio and sometimes families listen. But when this really unpleasant woman at UAB makes ugly comments about Rush Limbaugh dying, your first thought is, well, she shouldn't have a job. But that's playing their game, isn't it? Does she get to have a different opinion than you? Well, I don't want her teaching my child. Well, then don't send your child there. Or if you do send your child there, make sure that your child doesn't take her class. Or have your child go there, take her class, get inundated and indoctrinated with what she says, and then when your child comes home, you're able to talk to your child and give them another viewpoint, and then your child gets to make up his or her own mind, which is kind of the way all of this is supposed to work. The idea that we should completely shut down another side, and this is really important, the idea that we should shut down another side and keep them from being heard is so dangerous. It's dangerous everywhere, but it's particularly dangerous in a place that has the First Amendment, which is the right to speak out loud and give your opinion. And the government's not going to do anything. If others step up and say, well, the government may not put you away, but I'm going to make sure that you never work again, what really have you achieved? The desire to shut down the other side means that your argument must be incredibly weak. I would much rather live in a society where people are saying things with which I disagree and are not punished for it than live in a society where all dissent is quashed. Because that sounds like a really boring society. I would point to the differences between Twitter when Donald Trump was on it versus Twitter when Donald Trump is not on it. It's a pretty boring place, got to be honest. Parler's back up. Kind of enjoying that. It's First News Time. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5.
Moving right along in search of good times and good news. With good friends you can't lose.
This could become a habit.
Opportunity knocks once. Reach out and grab
a bear in his natural habitat.
We'll hitchhike bus or yellow cabin.
Cabin?
Moving right along.
Again, the number of guest stars that they managed to get in this movie. Bob Hope, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Steve Martin. Just amazing.
Orson Welles wasn't that hard. He'd do anything for a fish sandwich.
It's true, though. 229 Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Mr. Bug's going to take care of the swarms. The swarms are coming, you know. The mosquito thing kicks off before too long. And their mosquito reduction plan, they're not going to claim that they get rid of all the mosquitoes, but they've got a pretty good idea of how to reduce them to the point where they just don't bother you anymore, and that's what we like. That begins very shortly, next week, really. Give Mr. Bugs a call, 900-3433, or if you're statewide, 844-MRBUGGS, 844-MR-BUGS is another way to do it. Give them a call or visit them online, mrbuggs.com. Mr. Bugs knows what bugs you and can take care of it. Plus, they can greenify your lawn. So what are you waiting for? Mr. Bugs. That's Mr. Bugs to you. 900-3433, 900-3433. Mike is in Fairfield and has been on hold for a really long time to share an answer with a big stupid question of the day. Hello, Mike. You're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Hey, Richard. How are you today?
I am exquisite as always.
Okay. A lottery in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, you may be right about that. We can land on Mars, but we can't get a lottery in the state of Alabama. Point well taken. I love it, Mike. Thank you for the call, sir. We talked about that a little bit earlier, and this attempt to sort of mash all the gambling together into one bill, which is what Del Marsh is doing. Look, it may make it through the Senate. I don't know if it's going to make it through the House. For some reason, the House tends to be a more difficult bugaboo. And then it gets in front of the people. It's got to pass the Senate and the House by a 3/5 majority. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm really unhappy with the lack of any sort of competition in this thing, the fact that they just want to hand out these licenses. Well, they're not just giving them to these places. They expect them to pay for them. But the dog track's in four different locations around the state. Then they want to add another one onto the northern section of the state, and then three others that would be owned by the Porch Band of Creek Indians. And again, it's like, why are we just automatically assuming or deciding that these are the people who are going to benefit from this? The Porch Band of Creek Indians, because of prior agreements, are definitely going to benefit. There's no two ways about it. But why would the dog tracks automatically be the places that you would put these things? Why does that have to be? Why couldn't we open up the bidding and say, we have five licenses available in Jefferson County, and instead of them being $100 million apiece, we're going to make them $20 million apiece, and there's going to be five of them. Number one, you're going to employ a lot more people, right? Because you're going to have dealers, you're going to have waitresses, cocktail waitresses, you're going to have restaurant employees, because when these things open up, they tend to have all of those things. Plus, of course, lots more places for bands like the Cash Domino Killers to play, huh? Yeah, people who gamble love 50s music. But they're just talking about automatically putting it in places where there's already gambling. Why? Well, because those people have given a lot of money over the years to Alabama lawmakers. It's a bad idea. It's a bad way to do it. I don't know why they're doing it. It's making me a little crazy. Let's go back to the phones. The Birmingham Broker phone line is open. John is in Trustful with thoughts on the riot bill that is making its way through the House and Senate. Hello, John. You're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Hey, young man. Another good show.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to make this comment. We've got enough felonies, and let me explain to you why I believe this. If you destroy property, there's already laws on the book to hold you accountable for destruction of property.
Yep.
The problem I have with this bill is simply this. If the FBI is a perfect example. The FBI has become corrupt to its bones. They're chasing people all over the country who showed up in Washington, whether they did anything or not, just because they're there, they're wanting them to be charged with felonies. This is a political bill. And what I mean by that, whoever's in charge can usually get somebody else and have them charged with felonies and stuff. Then they lose their right to bear arms. They can't, you know, they can't be a police officer. They can't be a fireman just because they were there. It's bad law. It may have good intentions, but it's bad law. And I'd like your thoughts on it.
I understand where you're coming from. I think you have a good point here. What he's referring to, by the way, is a law that's making its way through the Alabama legislature that makes rioting in and of itself it's a third degree felony, I believe. But look, if you are engaged in, well, let's put it this way. Let's say you go down to a protest with the best of intentions, completely believing that all you're going to do is peacefully march through the streets of Birmingham, wave a sign and do a little chant. Hey, hey, ho, ho, da, 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 whatever it may be. And then some people decide to take it upon themselves to pick up a crowbar and smash some windows and businesses. Hey, I didn't sign on for that. I came down here for a peaceful protest. And now they're climbing through the windows and they're grabbing stuff. Now they're looting. I didn't sign on for that either. Now I want to leave, but the cops have decided that they're going to come in and they're going to grab anybody and everybody that they can. Well, I wasn't involved in any of the damage. I wasn't involved in the grabbing. I wasn't involved in the looting. All I did was march a little bit and chant a little bit. I'm going to get charged with a felony because some yahoos way over there decided to turn this peaceful protest into a riot? I see where you're coming from. And this double and triple jeopardy that we tend to engage in when it comes to the law is a little ridiculous. You make a point. If somebody damages property, well, then they should be charged with damage of property. If somebody steals property, they should be charged with theft. Let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater and assume that everybody who was there is a bad guy. Does that answer your question? And John has left us. Okay, thank you, John. I appreciate it. I could hear him listening to me on the radio, but then he just vanished on me. All right. Thank you, Johnny. There's got to be a better way to handle this. And by the way, it's not that there aren't laws to prosecute the people in Portland. It's not that there aren't laws to prosecute the people in Chicago, for instance, who went on a tear down Michigan Avenue and began tearing places up and looting them. It's not that there aren't laws on the books to prosecute the people in Seattle. There are. There absolutely are. What there isn't is the political will of those who hold office in those places to hold those people responsible. They just won't do it. And it is wrong that they won't do it. Because if you go out and you engage in a riot, you set fire to something, you steal something, you damage something, and you're never held responsible for that, well, the next time something comes around with which you disagree, oh, you can go out and do all these things and nobody's going to bug you. I think it's a bad idea. And for those who say, well, you know, these things are going to stop as soon as Joe Biden takes office, they haven't stopped. The media doesn't cover them. But there's still a situation in Portland every night. There's still a situation in Seattle every night. Other cities around the country as well, where there are still, you know, some type of low-grade riots at least taking place on a consistent basis. And the only possible way that you end these things is to make somebody pay, particularly those who were engaged in it. If somebody says, well, I'm going to go down to the riots. Oh, did you hear about Phil? What about Phil? Phil is serving 10 years in prison because he went down to the riots last time. I mean, he was breaking stuff and setting things on fire. Oh, well, maybe I'll just stay here and watch the Muppets then. Maybe that's the better choice. Speaking of Muppets, Robert is in Gardendale with thoughts on the subject. Robert, you're on the Birmingham Broker phone line. What's on your mind, man?
How are we doing today, Richard?
I'm exquisite as always.
I hear you, man. No, you was talking about the Muppets and how I don't see how anybody could find them offensive. It reminded me of a skit that I saw one time on the Carol Burnett show, where her and what's the other woman's name?
Vicki Lawrence.
Her and Vicki Lawrence were discussing on how they would put together a skit in front of a fan.
In front of a what? You've disappeared on me. And there goes Robert. He gave up. Okay. That was fun, Robert. Thank you for calling and getting half a statement out. Let's check with EC in Hueytown. EC, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind?
Hey, Richard. How you doing today?
Exquisite. I'm exquisite as always. According to Coca-Cola, I'm too white. But other than that, I'm feeling pretty good.
You are correct. And what I was going to say was, you talk about your class reunion. I guess the president of the class of that year was one that would get it going, if I remember right. Last time I got a letter from him, which I never made one, and don't plan on it. Most of my friends passed away, by the way. You know, the ones that hung around, they're gone, long gone, different variety of reasons, whatever. So I don't really need to go to one anyway. But, couldn't you get something together, though, somehow, you know, get all the info and just do your own deal?
I could. However, I'm in Alabama and they're in Minnesota, and frankly, I don't want to. I mean, there's already plans in place. They just decided to move it back a year, which I find very disappointing, and I'm glad I haven't bought tickets or made any sort of reservations or anything, because now I'm kind of like, I don't care whether I make it or not.
You thought about calling the person up, the president, talking to him, have a little, you know, don't get too bent out of shape like you were a while ago, you know, and throw a tantrum. But, you know, just kind of tell them, you know, like you said, explain it, that the COVID thing, you know, it may be around forever. You know, it's going to come around, different varieties of it, and there ain't no sense shutting everything down and, you know, the liberal way. And, you know, have maybe, you know, as persuasive as you are sometimes.
I know the class president, Nancy Rose is her name. And she and I were mortal enemies in high school and became good friends afterward.
Oh, God.
Strange, but true. But there you have it. But here's the thing. You're not going to change her mind. And by the way, it was her and the head of the class of 1980. who made this decision together. And I think some of it had to do with the fact that the venue that they wanted to put it at was like, well, we don't know if we're going to be doing this in July, and we're not sure, and we don't think this is a good idea. They started making noise about this several weeks ago, and I thought, well, good, change the venue. It's just that simple. Just go someplace else. Nope. They decided to change the date of the thing. So I'm just like, all right, congratulations. Maybe I show up, maybe I don't. At this point, I'll put it this way. Italy, going to Italy is a much higher priority than going to my 40th high school reunion, okay?
Well, listen, Rich, I don't know you're going to Italy, but when's this taking about a place? Summer?
2022. The goal is in July of 2022 to make it to Italy. It was going to be It was going to be like this year, and then that fell apart. Well, it was going to be 2020, and that fell apart. And then it was going to be 2021, and now it's like, yeah, probably not, because, you know, hey, Italy's closed. The moose out the front. I should have told you. Hey, oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you need to go to Mount Vesuvius, I pronounced it right, and you know, we stayed right by the Coliseum when I went. I'm talking about I could throw a rock and hit knock that thing down if I wanted to.
There's a lot of rocks there, too. There's a lot of rocks for you to pick up and throw.
You got it. That place is unbelievable. them rocks are, I don't know how many tons they weigh, you know, but they're like 10 feet tall. I don't know how they brought them over there from Egypt. That's where it came from, you know, most
is
of the rocks.
They already then.
A lot of information there when you get there. You take a tour, you know, those. That's what we did, and there's a lot of information you don't really hear about, but it's they brought them over with slaves, by the way, if that's okay to say it. But they were brought over by ship and, you know, and over there, and they built that thing. It's unbelievable. But
I look forward to it.
Next year. Yeah.
I can hardly wait to get there. Hey, thank you, EC. I appreciate it. We'll talk to your counterpart, JC, in Shelby County. JC, you're on Talk 99.5. You got an answer to the big stupid question of the day. How is it we can land on Mars, but we can't fill in the blank?
Actually, I want to give you a tip on Italy.
Okay.
Go to the Amalfi Coast. Don't go to Rome. Don't do any of that stuff. Just go straight to the Amalfi Coast. Pompeii, Positano, Capri, all the bottom half. It's so much nicer.
I've heard it's lovely. Yeah, I haven't made any decisions about exactly where I'm going yet, but I'm definitely going at some point. And I think I only have a certain number of days, so I'm probably going to try to go to two places. I'm probably going to try to be, you know, spend a few days in one city and then a few more days in another city and then come home. Because I don't think you can, you're not going to see the entire country in a week. You know, that's crazy.
But I will tell you this, you can start in Rome, drive to the Tuscan region, Cortona, where they filmed under the Tuscan sun.
Yeah.
Then drive down the Amalfi Coast and do all that in a week. We've done it. And it's very
good. I don't think I like this driving thing so much. Can I Uber?
You can train. They have a wonderful train system.
Oh, bring the train. I like it.
Easy to get on, very, very reasonably priced, all that good stuff. All right, so here's the big stupid question, and then one comment quickly on the UAB professor.
All right.
Why can't we make a McDonald's hamburger that looks as good as the one on television?
Yeah, if you want $15 an hour, that burger better look like the one in the picture. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. All right, here's my take on the UAB professor. My daughter-in-law took a class with her. First, she got sanctioned by the university another time for some of her comments. MAGA, F-words after it. And she did sign an ethics rule and clause in her contract with the university, and that's part of it. They get to decide what they like and don't like about how she expresses herself over public medias. So it's a little bit different standard in that particular case. Just like a police officer, for instance, that decides to put up something, you know, derogatory about a particular group, doesn't really matter what it is, and the police force fires him. It's the exact same thing. They sign a clause that says you can't do that.
Well, I disagree with what you're saying, JC, so I want to cancel you. I don't want your voice to be heard.
Go ahead. I don't care. You're getting what you paid for. Absolutely zero.
I kid. Thank you for the call, and thank you for the point of view, man. 2:45, got to take a break. We'll hurry right back. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com.
Everybody's brother, I wanna be your lifetime friend. Crazy as a rocket, no. stuff it in my pocket. I keep it at the Rainbow's Inn.
On a whim, when I was a child, I bought my sister, who was in college at the time, a poster of Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. And she put it on her wall in the house she was living in with a couple of roommates. And I think she moved it from place to place when when we went to move her out of that place so that she could head off to California for her first job. She still had that poster up. That was like 5 years later. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. She thought a lot of that poster. Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, one of my favorite groups. 248, Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com. You know, Chuck Davis, my lawyer, 823-9992, handles a wide variety of issues. You know, he's not one of these super specialty guys. A guy who's like, well, all I do is, you know, real estate law. No, that's not who he is. It's not how he rolls. He's interested in helping as many people as he can, but he's also not interested in wasting your time. So when you call 823-9992, when you make an appointment with Chuck Davis, a couple of things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to talk to Chuck Davis. Number two, you're going to find a intent-wrapped listener. This initial consultation is free, so he's going to pay close attention to you. And number three, you're going to get the truth about whether or not you have a case. If you do, he'll say, yeah, let's go full speed ahead. If you don't, then he'll say, you really don't have a case here. Let's not waste any time on this and move on with our lives. And that's a good thing. Could be personal injury. Could be medical malpractice. It could be a contract dispute, a land dispute, probate. Good Lord, handles a lot of probate. Also doing $99 simple wills right now. More wills, more complex wills are slightly more expensive. No representation is made that the legal services provided are superior to legal services provided by other attorneys. But Chuck Davis is my lawyer, and I think he ought to be yours. ChuckDavisLaw.com, 823-9992. Back to the Muppet conversation. Robert is in Gardendale with a better phone connection, from what I understand. Robert, you're on the Birmingham Broker phone line. What's up?
Thank you, sir. Sorry about earlier.
Quite all right.
Okay, as I was saying, there was a skit on the Carol Burnett Show where her and Vicki Lawrence were discussing how they put together a skit. And they were in front of a panel of peers, I guess it were, that every time they would say something that was offense, that somebody could be offended by, they would speak up about it and they'd try to shut it out. Long story short, the end of the skit was, good morning, Mrs. Smith, goodbye, Mrs. Jones.
That was it. That was as good as it got. Because that's about right. Yes. Look, comedy in and of itself is sort of built upon misunderstandings and upon our differences. And if we're going to look at every difference as being offensive, then nothing is ever going to work again. And I can't live in that world, man.
And I've always believed, if you can't laugh at yourself, what the hell can you laugh about?
Right. If you can't laugh at yourself, let me do it. I'll laugh at you for you. I'm good at that.
Exactly.
Got that down. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate the call. And I'm glad you called back and got that in. Let's talk to Jeff on a cell phone. Jeff, big stupid question of the day. How is it that we can land on Mars, but we can't what?
You might already got this. Go through McDonald's and get my order right.
And what about that damn ice cream machine always being broken, huh?
Yeah, I reckon. I don't know.
Can we get some answers on that? I love it, Jeff. Thank you for the call. Sorry, cut you straight off. Here's Terry in Sylacauga. Terry, you're on Talk 99.5. Same question. What's up?
Hi, King Richard. I know you're as exquisite as always.
I am indeed.
How can we land on Mars, but we can't get Ziploc on a cereal bag?
That's a good question. You know, almost everything I've noticed nowadays has got some sort of Ziploc or resealable, but cereal just doesn't seem to want to do that. They're selling the same wax paper bags they've had since I was a child. Now, to be honest, I buy the cereal, I bring it home, I dump it into a sealed Tupperware container that is designed exactly for that reason. It looks like a, you know, cereal box. It's the same shape and size. But I shouldn't have to do that. We should have a Ziploc and a cereal bag. That's not too much to ask, is it?
No, it's not.
Well, they need to get their act together. I'm writing to somebody in Battle Creek, Michigan, and trying to get this straightened out. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it. I don't know that they're actually in Battle Creek, Michigan, but that's where we used to send away the box tops.
That's where Kellogg's is based out of. You are correct,
it is?
Sir.
Okay, yes. Then. Hot diggity dog. Will, the Chubb father, is in Alabaster. Will, how is it possible that we can land on Mars, but we can't what?
Get a woman to put the toilet seat back up when she's finished.
Or, if I may go down this road, to tell you what's wrong when you ask her. What's wrong? Nothing. Yeah. Are you sure you don't? I'm fine. Really? You're going to go with that? That's your story? I'm fine? Seriously? Yeah.
Like, we don't know your facial expressions and your demeanor well enough to know that there's clearly something wrong. Just tell me and get it over with.
3 days later, finally, 3 days later, I kept expecting during the Super Bowl that that female ref was going to throw a flag on something that happened 4 years ago, you know?
That's funny. Hey, two more quick thoughts. One of my three most favorite 45s of all time is the Rainbow Connection on side A by Kermit, and side B is I Hope That Something Better Comes Along by Ralph the Dog, which is exquisite. And on the comedy note, I was at the pawn shop the other day looking for some new vinyl, and for $3, I got three records, the best of Richard Pryor, the best of Red Fox, and the best of Bill Cosby on vinyl. Three.
Oh, good Lord. Score. That's good stuff, man. That is good stuff. I love it. Thank you, Will. Have yourself a great day, man. Hey, don't forget portions of today's show brought to you by Chance Landscaping and so much more. 205-821-7015. These guys are the best. If you need a project done in or around your house, they'll be more than happy to get involved with that. You know, they're real craftsmen. Whether you're looking at getting a deck rebuilt for a pergola, gazebo, whatever it is you need, they also handle lawn maintenance as we're coming back into that season, aren't we? So let's do it. That is Chance Landscaping and so much more. 205-821-7015. All righty. We'll pack it up and come back in 21 hours. Leland Live comes your way next. Back tomorrow at noon. Talk at you then. Richard Dixon. Talk then at 9:05. Bye-bye now.